Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Keyshawn Johnson hopping on with us here in a moment on the HRMP guest line. A few other people weighing in on the what is successful for D'Amico Ryans in year one. 1779. Two things. Want to be on the plus side of the turnover difference. It's a weird thing to want in year one. And I want to double red zone touchdown conversion rate.
Okay.
Very analytical. Mm-hmm. What would be successful?
A little deeper dive than I expected, but okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's a little different than like development. Be better than last year. 3008 game management. I think that's a good one. Schemes. You know, with Lovey, he was a little antiquated. With Pep, it was a little bad. So the schemes you would hope would improve with D'Amico with the defense and whichever offensive coordinator you bring in. Which right now, of the three dudes they've interviewed, there's only one that I'm even intrigued with. The other two are kind of scary. He also says potential culture and player buy-in. See, those last two things are sometimes something that we gloss over, which I think really matters. Like, I think culture really matters. I think player buy-in really matters.
Sure.
Like the Astros right now are, like, sure, they have lots of talent. The Astros would be very good if they were dysfunctional in terms of, like, you know, Buddy Ryan punching dudes on the sidelines. But I think that stuff is like what elevates you to one, two, three wins more. Like, when you have a good culture, when you have that player buy-in and that commitment, I think that's whenever a 5-win team becomes like a 7-win team.
Well, and it
a
goes
9-win
back,
team becomes an 11-win team.
It goes back to the Lions again. I mean, yeah, it was a little bit over the top in terms of Campbell's press conference, but the true proof in the pudding was the way that on a daily basis you could see it and feel it amongst their players. And when they took the field, there was, you didn't think that there was anybody going AWOL. You didn't have the kind of guys we've had in the Texans in the past that basically have acted their way out of being members of the Houston Texans because of the fact that guys were all in on Campbell and they were all in on what he was building and trying to do, and they believed that together that they were going to be able to do some things that people said they couldn't be able to do. And I think that's why it's so important with a guy like D'Amico, because he's not like a rah-rah-rah guy, but he is emotional. And because of captain and coach and all the nicknames he's had and the way he's gone about his business, if he gets the staff around him that kind of has the same mentality, it's going to be conducive to getting his players to do the same thing. They're going to buy in. And like you said, from a cultural perspective, they're going to understand what's expected of them and how to act, and they're going to do the same things. So I think it's important, and I think that they got the right guy for that part of the job, in my opinion.
Yeah, I do too. I think that that could potentially be a strength. We don't know. Maybe there's no guarantees, but I think it could be a strength, especially what you hear from everybody that talks about D'Amico. 713-780-ESPN. What is a successful year one for D'Amico? 713-780-3776. 6434. To me, success would be seeing the Texans as, quote, in the hunt at the end of the year playoff standings, like 2 to 3 games out of the, but have some glimmer of hope. Probably not at the end of the year, but like maybe you're going into week 14, right? And 5-7 has you in the hunt because 7 teams make the playoffs. I don't necessarily need that for success. I see how some people would, but I will say this. If the Texans are in the hunt, even if they're 2-3 games back, 5-7, week 14 of the year, I think that's a pretty successful year one.
Yeah. Look, I mean, that absolutely would be. I think that, again, there's a lot of different ways to grade it. I think the other thing that I'll give you credit for, but I also think that is a valid point, going back to the conversation we had last segment in terms of young quarterbacks that we might be able to see the Texans try to acquire. The other thing that we had mentioned, but Shanahan already said Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to be back with the Niners next year. You couple right. Garoppolo not being back with an injured Brock Purdy, and I don't think they have a choice but to try Trey Lance as long as he's healthy enough to play. So
unless they go to
a veteran, right? And so if you go to a veteran, then that's your only shot for teams that want to acquire him, because it's the same way in Green Bay. If Rodgers commits to coming back to Green Bay, then that means that Jordan Love and his agent, rightfully so, should want to trade. They should want to get out because that's not going to be a situation conducive to him showing what he can do, earning his second contract, or being the kind of player he thinks he can be. So you got to move on. So I think that you have to have a lot of dominoes fall to get guys available that might fit the short term with the potential for a long-term fit as a young quarterback for the Texans.
Yeah, that's going to have to come into play. Like, you have the situation of what they're in matters. Because I could see a scenario where Jordan Love is the starting quarterback for Green Bay week one. I could see a scenario where Trey Lance is the starting quarterback for San Francisco week one. In fact, I would bet on that. I would bet that those two guys are the starting quarterbacks for their respective teams the first week of the NFL season next year.
I'd bet on one of them.
You think Rodgers is coming back to Green Bay?
I think he still is. Yeah, I think that's just pouty pants again, not being included in every conversation and being his diva self. But I think that, again, the way the contract is structured, he either plays or he retires, and he plays for Green Bay. And if he wants
to... those contracts. Though.
I know.
You
if
know
he wants to restructure it to get traded, then so be it. But look, I heard Jake Asman all but get down on his hands and knees and pray to the Lord above last night over and over with, like, the drool falling out of his mouth to get Aaron Rodgers.
Can you blame him?
And it's like, okay. And then, he kept making his predictions, and saying what Rodgers is going to do. I mean, I was the only one a year ago that told you when everybody else on the planet said he was playing somewhere else that he was going to play in Green Bay, and he did. And I'm not ready to say that again this year unequivocally with the same kind of bravado I did a year ago, but I believe that it's way too early in the situation and everybody's hyper-analyzing a guy that just wants all of the attention right now and always. So before we get to that, that road, I'm not going to say Jordan Love's going to start week one for Green Bay because what I've seen, I don't want Jordan Love to start for my team, whatever team it is, in week one next year. But if you can get something for him, and again, like, it's a situation like the Texans where – he's still on his rookie contract. There's not a whole lot to lose. And if he loses games while getting his first real true experience as a starting quarterback, he's doing you a solid. I think that that's a guy that could be here. And if Rodgers does come back to Green Bay, that's a guy that I don't think you'd have to give up the same kind of draft capital and things. And I don't think either team's going to try and recoup the kind of draft capital they gave up to get, or in the case of Green Bay, they used to get the two guys we're talking about. I think that the Niners maybe just taking a third is too low. But I think for Green Bay, who used a late first to get Love, I think that if they got a high second, or if they could get another late first, they'd take that in a heartbeat.
To be honest, from a Texans point of view, like, I want a boom or bust quarterback. If you're not drafting rookie quarterback, I wouldn't trade a first or a second rounder for that guy.
What do you think Zach Wilson's worth?
I have no idea. Like, if they bring in Aaron Rodgers.
But
honestly, if I'm the Jets, I keep Zach Wilson.
More or less than
he's
Love.
He's on a rookie scale, and he can learn under Rodgers. I think Wilson would get more than Love.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think you're right. Saleh even said –
Either one of those guys, though, Blankers, like either three of those guys that if you trade them, if they do, you're losing return on the investment.
Oh, absolutely. You have to accept the fact. It's like the car you drive off the lot. You have to accept that you're going to take less.
It's a sunk cost.
Yeah, wherever. But I think that – Saleh already said, look, we're still committed to developing Zach Wilson, but we want a veteran quarterback for next year. I commend them for being ballsy enough to be able to say that publicly and already set the tone for next year. But, Green Bay never said that. Green Bay will waver and sit on the fence and live and die by the decisions of Aaron Rodgers. So, you go through it and you say different franchises have different ways of going about it, but they're definitely going to take a loss no matter where they play, as long as it's not with the teams they're currently on.
Keith says, what about Cooper Rush? I don't think Cooper Rush is boomy. Like, I want a boom or bust quarterback. I want a boom or bust quarterback even if there's a 90% chance it bust. Just give me that glimmer of hope, which I don't think Cooper Rush has the boom. You know what I mean? Like, Cooper Rush is more of a poor man's Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, there's no boom in Cooper Rush's game. Now, the floor is much, much higher for Cooper Rush, and I think any team in the NFL would be very smart to have Cooper Rush as a backup quarterback for them, because I think he can sustain, winning 50% of the games which your starting quarterback is out. We saw that with Dallas this year, won more than 50% of the games. But he doesn't have the boom that I need. Like, he's probably, okay. Cooper Rush in 23 might be a better quarterback than Zach Wilson. He might be a better quarterback than Jordan Love. But there's zero boom to
his
game.
With that.
The ceiling is very low.
I agree with that. Okay, let me give you another one. But you're going to have to pay a little bit. But there's a lot of potential to boom. What about Daniel Jones? If somehow Daniel Jones is available, if they don't franchise tag him, if he can walk and test the market, is Daniel Jones the kind of guy – that gives you the chance to boom enough that you can do what D'Amico might want to do, or you can go defense in the draft, and you can say, this is a guy that I can build around. I saw enough from this guy, and he's seasoned now with NFL experience, and he brings enough tools in his tool belt to the table that I'm intrigued, and I believe that I will pay him more. I will give him the reins, and I will say, this is a guy I can build around.
No.
Okay.
One, if we get rid of the, like, I think it's very unrealistic that Daniel Jones plays somewhere other than New York next year. They'll do whatever they can to have Daniel Jones back in the fold there. But if we eliminate that for a second, I still don't see that boom with Daniel Jones. Like, I think Daniel Jones this year was a lot of lipstick on a pig. I think it was a lot of Brian Daboll being able to bring the most out of him. I don't see star at all in Daniel Jones.
Well, see, here's the – I don't see lipstick on a pig, but I don't see Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen and Herbert and Joe Burrow. I see a guy maybe a slightly better because of his legs and his ability to run – than a Kirk Cousins. I see a guy that could be a top 12 to 14 quarterback in this league if you have the right pieces around him. But I think that we've said this before in terms of the landscape.
See, you kind of got to stop there, though. Like, if you have to have pieces around a quarterback, is it worth paying that quarterback top five money?
See, if it's top five money, then I'm out. But if it's just giving him a chance to solidify with his first big deal and he gets starting quarterback money but not elite starting quarterback money, and you're talking about, you know, high 20s, low 30s for a couple years, I would be intrigued by that. I think that because we've seen enough guys that you don't have to win the game all by yourself, just don't lose it. But if you get enough talent around him, I think he can be a successful quarterback in this league. But I think that if you put it on his shoulders and have the expectations you have for some of the guys that I mentioned, now I think that's unrealistic.
Yeah, I think you and I don't really see eye to eye with what Daniel Jones is. I think that we would agree, though, that he's not going to leave New York.
Right. They definitely don't want him to.
9868, Texans already have a boomer bust quarterback on the roster, Davis Mills. What? Delete your account, 9868. Davis Mills doesn't have any boom to his game. Like, where's the boom coming from Davis Mills? I see zero boom with Davis Mills.
I think the boom that you see with Davis Mills, Jeremy, is when it all blew up. And it exploded in a very negative Hindenburg-like crash. Yeah. Well, it didn't bust till it hit the ground. And so it hasn't hit the floor yet and just completely gone kaput. So as it's trickling down after the big boom, he still could be a quarterback elsewhere in this league. He could be a backup and do whatever he's going to do. But, yeah, the boom was the fact that whole experiment blew up.
I guess we got stood up by Keyshawn. I thought we were tight. You know, we brought him into our station.
We were friendly
last year.
With him.
We brought him into our lives.
You and I did the VIP. We did the VIP chat with him and yucked it up with him.
Keyshawn was our guy. Like, I mean, he was our boy. He was basically an adopted killer bee. Like, he was an honorary bee with the killer bees. And then he just goes and blows us off. Not cool, Key. Speaking of diva wide receivers, Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks for the Houston Texans. There's been a lot of Brandon Cooks chatter on the Twitter.com amongst Texans circles. Should they try to convince him to come back and be a Houston Texan? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN
92.5. Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Not Santa saying, did Keyshawn not come on and protest the 2017 Astros? That's messed up.
Yeah, I think the first question, I just told Joe, I think the first question should, if he does come on later, is, Key, your thoughts on the 2022 world champion Houston Astros?
Yeah.
Because that'll fire him up right off the top.
Yeah, that's going to be a no-doubter. My coffee's spilling here.
Oh, good.
I'm not in studio today. I'm in Wichita, a little Cougar basketball. I just started making this coffee and didn't realize it's very loud. Can you hear that?
Nope.
Okay, good. I don't know. I heard Lance the other day describing his hotel room. Because where is the Senior Bowl? It's in Mobile.
Mobile,
Alabama. Is he in Mobile? He's in Mobile, right?
Yeah. Yep.
He's watching Tank Dill up close and personal. My hotel room's very nice, in case you are wondering. It beats his little Motel 6 that he's in, I guess. Brandon Cooks, a member of the Houston Texans. A lot of people didn't like the way that Brandon Cooks handled the situation last year. I personally didn't like the way that Nick Caserio handled the Brandon Cooks situation 2 years ago by not trading him at the deadline and then giving him a contract extension.
Wasn't that more Easterby-ish involvement still?
Could have been.
I think Jack held on tooth and nail as a last resort before he bowed out to his culture guy.
What does he call himself? The Archer or something like that on Twitter?
I have no idea.
A lot of people are starting to say that the Texans should be keeping Brandon Cooks in fold. Make sure that he stays with the Houston Texans. Look, we've discussed this at the start, like at the beginning of the offseason. To me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, depending on what the return is, to trade Brandon Cooks. Like, you're paying a good chunk of that contract, even if you trade him. The trade value for Brandon Cooks, I think, has never been worse, quite honestly, because of the contract. I thought the time to trade him was two trade deadlines ago, whenever he was having a pretty good year. You hadn't signed him to the contract extension yet. I think he could have got a third rounder then. Then we heard the reports this trade deadline that Nick Caserio was, like, overshooting the value of Brandon Cooks. I think it's going to be difficult to get a receiver in this draft, especially if you go quarterback at number two. Like, maybe somebody slides to you at 12, but there's some thought that maybe there's not a receiver worth the number 12 pick this year, that it's not as good a receiver class as it was a year ago. I personally think, Blankers, it makes a lot of sense to keep Brandon Cooks on this team. And if he's going to play hardball with you, well, I'm playing hardball right back.
Well, see, I don't. I think that, and I understand where you're coming from the contract, and maybe you can do what they did a year ago and even recoup some of the money and suspend the guy. But I think that he's worn out his welcome too many times. The first time he did the things he did, and these are two similar mirror images but with different things that you point a finger at when I talk about Tunsil and Cooks being on this roster all the way into this offseason. They gave them both extensions. They gave them the money they wanted. They kept bending over backwards to appease them, and the guys did the exact opposite of being appreciative, and we knew what we saw with Tunsil when a hangnail kept him out for half of the season, and you had to pay him to go, you know, and bribe him to come back to practice and play. And with Cooks, it was just misstep after misstep, and it started, you know, a couple years ago, but then Jack said he was his culture guy, and then it was when you traded Mark Ingram, and then he went off on Twitter, but then they tried to walk it back. And then you had all the different missteps again this year and losing his captaincy and all the different ways. And then just to put a cherry on it at the end of the year when he said, I don't want to be a part of a rebuild. Well, goodbye. See ya. It's not going to be easy to do. It's going to be more challenging because of the extension, but I'd be just as happy as I could be if you traded both guys and got them out of town. Because now that you got D'Amico and you got a different mindset, a different culture, and a guy that's going to seriously be probably a little bit firmer in his beliefs on who should be on this team and what roles they should play. If you don't want to be here, then pack your bags and get the hell out. And then I'm calling Nick and saying, move him, because I'm not playing him. Because I'm not dealing with this crap, with what I'm trying to do. And from the time I take this job now, there's a new sheriff in town. We're doing things different. Easterby's not in the mix. And if this dude doesn't want to be here, then I don't want him on my team.
What if he signs up for all that, though? Like, he wants that. He wants the structure. He wants a team that's going to be eager to win and not be a debacle in a S show in, 4-13 every year. And then the second part of the conversation, like, it's very easy, like, yeah, I don't want Brandon Cooks here. Trade him for a first. Okay. You just said what you had to say, which are all valid points. I don't necessarily disagree with a whole lot of it. Okay. I'm Dallas. I offer you Nick Caserio, and this is the best offer you get. I'll give you a 6-round pick for Brandon Cooks. What's your answer to that?
That's no, because – but
there you go. There you go. Right. That's the other side of the conversation that no one's willing to have.
But Jeremy, there's another option. It's tougher in the NFL, but there's another option because we've seen it happen too many times. We saw it happen with Deshaun. We saw it happen with James Harden, and then subsequently we saw it happen with John Wall. You can be a healthy scratch. You can go home. Take your stuff and go home. We're going to pay you, but the last thing I want you to do – is
what's the point of that, though? If you have a receiver that can help a young quarterback and it's giving you a little bit of buy-in, but why is he being suspended? Like,
because
the dude,
Jeremy,
came back and was like a quality player.
Because
like, he was a professional.
That
you
just said,
last year,
the things you just said about what if he does this, what if he buys in, what if, how long is that going to last? Because we've seen that show play out before.
You give him the chance before you send him home, though.
Man, how many chances does he get? I mean, is he a cat with 9 lives? I'm not going to keep throwing this guy a rope and trying to save him, only for him to threaten that I could dip you in the grease and throw you under the bus at a moment's notice, and I'm threatening to do it again, and I'm not happy, and the guy throwing me the football can't get it to me where I need it, and, Davis Mills goes from his off-season workout partner to a guy that he just can't play with, and on and on and on and on, and it's like it's a broken record, and you keep resetting the needle. At a certain point, throw it out.
So you rather not trade Brandon Cooks for a sixth, and then before he ever plays a snap with D'Amico Ryan, send him home before the possibility of him being upset happens again?
I think that you have to you obviously have to analyze the player. You have to sit down and understand, because he's the one that said he doesn't want to do this. And maybe you do have to accept a sixth. Maybe just to get him out of Dodge, it's another addition by subtraction. Hopefully it's one of the last ones you have to make for a franchise that has made those decisions far too often in the last several years. But at the end of the day, it might be something that you don't want to do, that realistically you have to do, because he's going to be a problem. He's not going to stop doing the antics.
He just played in week 18. Like, he played the last few
games. Did he play well?
Yeah, he did,
played
actually.
Okay.
He played really good against the Colts in the week 18, which was actually frustrating.
Right, exactly what you didn't need. I mean, the guy is always there when you don't need him.
He would be your best receiver next year.
I don't care, Jeremy. I'm sick and tired of the antics. I'm sick and tired of the anti-culture. I'm sick and tired of
but it's a new culture.
I being over team. Right, but it's not a new player. It's the same guy. Just because you're changing the coach and the and some of the coaching staff.
He was upset, though, because he felt like the Texans were a laughing stock and that they weren't very good and they weren't a playoff
contender. Are they better?
And he wanted... Why wouldn't they be better? They just
he doesn't want to be a part of a rebuild. Last time I checked,
they have the number 12 pick.
But
why are you sending him? Like, but I understand that. Doesn't want to be part of a rebuild. Like, I would trade him, but for me, the price is a top 125 pick. If I don't get a pick in the top 125, I'm playing hardball with Brandon Cooks, and I'm keeping him in my organization, and I'm going to tell him to play football. And then if I get attitude, then yeah, you can go on home. But I'm going to make him and force him to be a professional before I send him home just because of his antics with a previous coaching staff. Because if I'm D'Amico Ryans and I'm taking over a roster, what you did with a previous coaching staff has zero influence on the way that I treat that player.
That's fine. I get what you're saying, but you told me the best offer that I'm going to get is a sixth-round pick.
Yeah, and then you're sending him home.
Right, because I don't need him. Because I don't need him trying to blow up this situation before it even gets started with D'Amico. I have already seen the stripes on this tiger, and I know they ain't going to change. And I know that he's done it multiple times. And every time, it's been the team to give him another chance, and it's been him to crap all over the chance and put me in front of team yet again. And I don't want to – it's fine because you basically threw away the last 2 years. But now that those are behind you and they're over, all those antics and dealing with that kind of baby tactic is over too. And if you don't want to be a part of a rebuild, I got news for you. No matter who the coach is and who they draft, it's not going to be turned over overnight to where it's not still going to be the fetal stages of a rebuild. And you don't want to be here. So
right,
I don't expect that it's going to last for him. If you can get a fourth, I'm fine with that. You can get
but
whatever.
You wouldn't do it for a sixth. Like, that's kind of what the sticking point that I'm having here is. Like we both have our line of demarcation. For me, I need a top 25, a top 125 pick, which is probably early fourth round. You would not trade him for a sixth rounder. So let's operate under that scenario. Because, look, the trade offers weren't there at the deadline. Nick Caserio might have been inflating the value, probably was the case. The contract situation for Brandon Cooks does not make him easy to trade. It flat out does not. Top 125 pick for me, he's gone. Like, he's gone. Give me that early fourth round pick. I'm cool with that. But if all I get, the best offer that I get for Brandon Cooks, who would be your best receiver next year, and if you have a young quarterback, I would like the help of a pretty good receiver. If the best you're going to get is a six-round draft pick, I'm not doing that trade. You said you wouldn't do that trade either. If he does not act out with a new first-year head coach, you play him until he acts out.
I just think that it's too risky based on his antics before D'Amico even has his press conference. It's too risky because you've given him too many second chances. And so the last thing I need to do is give my new head coach a headache to deal with because of the fact that he could blow up at any time. And I don't like the fact that I'm putting a veteran ticking time bomb. That's one of those situations where you say, hey, we're giving you and your agent, because he kept saying, I can control my own destiny. I understand I have a contract, but I mean, I can do so. I can step into this thing too. I don't know what that means from him if he's threatening again that he's going to air out what's happened with the Texans. That doesn't matter. It's more irrelevant
but
now.
They turned the page for
that. Right, because they're over that. So now this is where you call the agent and say, if you guys truly want to be out of here, we give you permission to go seek a trade. So go try and get your best deal done and try and see what teams are interested and get back to us. But in the meantime, you're not coming around here, because I don't want you influencing the young guys on this roster and in this locker room, the guys we drafted, the guys we have, and the guys we're trying to develop. And I don't need that negative black cloud in the locker room when I have these positives that I want to develop. And it's been done before, and I would do it again. And I would hope to God that they could get more than a sixth. But at a certain point, you just might feel, without doing him the solid of, like, trading him where he wants to go, but if the offer in Dallas is better than the offer with a 500-type team, so be it. Take the best offer, but get him out, because addition by subtraction, to me, is where this has to go with him, because I've given him too many second chances.
That addition by subtraction is mostly off the football field, because he would be your most talented receiver next year. Like, even if you draft a receiver at number 12, Brandon Cooks is the most talented receiver in 2023.
He could be. We saw him drop balls from Davis Mills.
Who's going to be better than Brandon Cooks next year?
I don't know that for okay. As I see. Well, but Jeremy, I don't know what they're going to do in free agency. I haven't seen the roster yet.
There's not a free agent out there that's better than Brandon Cooks. There's not a receiver in this draft that would be better than Brandon Cooks.
But the roster isn't solidified. You can trade. You can do a lot of different things. You can draft. You can do a lot of different things. I saw Brandon Cooks as the number one.
Trade for a number one receiver?
I saw Brandon Cooks as the number one last year that everybody before the season with fantasy football and everything, sleeper wide receiver one.
Sure.
You know what he did?
That's fine.
He's still napping. He's still groggy because he's been sleeping all year. He couldn't do it, and he didn't. He dropped easy footballs.
Okay.
He didn't make plays.
All right, that's fine. How are you getting a better receiver?
I just told you there's a variety of ways that you can and try and get a better receiver. You could do it in the draft. You could do it with a trade. You could do it. And
who's better in the draft that would be better than Brandon Cooks next year?
I think the kid from Ohio State could be. I think the kid from TCU could be. I think there's a lot of different guys. And you know what? Just like we're saying, you're not trying to get wide receiver one to be Tyreek Hill in year one. But you're definitely going to be – you're going to develop a guy that's going to be here, want to be here, and be better long-term.
What is your line of demarcation? What do you need to get – the worst trade you would take for Brandon Cooks? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What is your line of demarcation for Brandon Cooks? I wouldn't trade him unless I get a top 125 pick, which is about an early fourth. Blankers, what is that line for you? Because you said you wouldn't trade him for a sixth. What is the lowest you'd be willing to take for Brandon Cooks?
I mean, ideally, if I gave you a range, I'd love a third. I'd take a fourth. I might even take a fifth, depending on where it is in the draft, in the pecking order in that round. Because to me, like I said, he wore out his welcome, and he did it multiple times. And that, to me, when you're trying to truly press an entire organizational reset button, but specifically in the locker room and with the new coaching staff and stuff like that, I think, just like we said, they've turned the page in a lot of ways. There's still a couple guys that give you the chance to kind of revisit the actions of the old that are going to drive you nuts. I don't need that with him. So I know there's a debate raging all over in terms of how good he can still be and what he can still do and what he's done. I just don't want to be a part of that discussion, because it's not going to be with the Texans, I don't think, and I don't think it's conducive to either side.
Look, I'm not a huge Brandon Cooks stan. Like, I'm not this Brandon Cooks fanboy. I was one of the first people, because when I was watching those All 22, I remember the Chicago game where Mills threw an interception, and Brandon Cooks, as the play was going on, snapped off his helmet straps and walked off the football field. Like, I'm not a Brandon Cooks stan. But I know that Brandon Cooks still is a productive NFL football player. And people are like, oh, he's terrible. He's only good for one or two catches. Dude literally caught for five catches for over 100 yards and a touchdown in the last NFL game that he most recently played. Like, the dude's not a bad football player. He's still a productive NFL wide receiver. That's why I'm not just giving him away for a six-round draft pick. I do understand the value for Cooks isn't all that high right now, because this past season was his worst season in the last three, because his contract situation is not ideal. And you can blame Nick Caserio for that, but I'm not trading away a receiver who has talent and is a top three receiver for a good football team for anything less than a top 125 pick. And if he says, well, I demand to get out of here, well, I play hardball with the guy. Sorry. Like, I'm not just trading you away for a six-round draft pick for a Roy Lopez, for, the Texans use a six-round draft pick to trade for Ryan Finley, and then they cut him. So that's kind of like, we're not really that far off with our line of demarcation. Like you say, maybe a fifth. I'm saying an early fourth. Like, it's, we're not really that far off, and we kind of think the same thing of Brandon Cooks. Now, there is some thought that there's some there's some players on the Texans that think that the whole, like, Brandon Cooks is a cancer is overblown. There's been players that have – tell me a player that has spoke poorly for Brandon Cooks.
No. I'm
because
saying,
actually the opposite has happened.
I'm saying there's
Houston
a huge
Texans
difference between guys in the locker room that are going to support
Cooks.
Their brothers and guys in the front office that know and have been through – the
what matters more, the players that he's playing with or the dudes in the suits up in the office?
It matters about the entirety of all of it. It matters the fact that they don't want the front office doesn't want to deal with it again. It's the same way players don't get involved in other players' financial squabbles or other things with management. I'm sure that, you know, the Laremy Tunsils of the world and the other guys are going to say he's still our dude, he's still our brother, he's still our teammate, because that's what players do with other players. But in terms of the organization, they have a totally different outlook on that. And I think that you look at a guy that's moved around from place to place to place to place, and at a certain point you do question if those were strictly financial moves or, you know, roster moves, or if those had a little bit something more to it.
He got traded three times for a first, and a second. Like, let's not act
like
he wasn't in
demand. But I'm just saying, at this point in his career, he was all that. Those points in his career, too, he was a lot younger, but there were people still willing to give him more of a chance. Yeah, there were glimpses that he could still play last year, but he wasn't anything close to what everybody was trying to prognosticate he was going to be a year ago. And then I saw what you saw, and I saw more of it. I saw a lot of bad body language. I see.
Like, what? When did he do that?
I'm not going to sit there and tell you every single game he
because
did it, Jeremy.
You didn't see it.
But I saw it. Yes, I did see it. And don't
tell me
what I didn't see.
Well, then why wouldn't you tell
because
me what
Because I saw it on the sideline in multiple games. And when the ball didn't get there the way it was supposed to, or the play, he'd look at Davis Mills, he'd do the head drop. He was cussing the sidelines. He was getting all upset if the plays didn't work out or he didn't get the look.
He cussed the
He didn't
sideline?
Get the ball. You can see him take off his helmet on the sideline. And yeah, and you can pretty much tell when there are not the exactly appropriate words for television coming out of his mouth. I saw him do too many times the pouty, I'm pissed off, I didn't get the ball, this isn't working out kind of thing. And then we heard quotes subsequently from time to time and game to game that got him suspended and told to go home and got his captainship taken away. So I'm not going to sit there and tell you on the all 22, I can tell you every game and every play it happened, but those are, you can look at enough
one
Texans
example.
Tape to watch him get, with bad body language, pout when things didn't go his way.
Can you tell me why the Texans players would advocate for him?
Because they're friends of his. There's plenty of guys that I've seen throughout my career and otherwise. That we know that the guy's a bad apple with the way he plays the game and the way he handles his business. But if you're his friend and you've been his friend for his long time, you got his back no matter what. That's why.
Okay. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Chris, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Chris calling in from Kima. I just wanted to go on with Brandon Cooks. Obviously, we're in a rebuild mode going into the next 2023 season. And with a rookie quarterback, man, I would dump this guy and get whatever you can for him because he's 5'10", 180 pounds. He's a tough target to hit. Yeah, he's fast, but with
Come
a rookie
on.
Quarterback, I would like our wide receiver one to be someone big body, you know, good route runner, physical, and hands. And this guy's injured all the time as well. You know, if he gets injured,
what are you talking
week,
about?
He's gonna milk this.
Come on, like you just went with a bunch of narratives that are literally not true. Chris, would you trade Brandon Cooks for a 7th round draft pick?
I would. Whatever you can get
okay.
for him at this point.
Fair enough.
I think at this point we need a big body receiver for a young quarterback.
Okay, yeah, Tyreek Hill's terrible. Jalen Waddle's really bad. Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, those guys stink. But you got to have a big body receiver. The whole health concern stuff with Brandon Cooks I think is a little bit overblown too, where he did have the concussion stuff early in his career. Just go look at the games he played, though. Like, he played 13 last year. It wasn't because of injuries, because he quit on his team, to Blaker's point. He played 16 the year before that, 15 the year before that, 14 the year before that, 16, 16, 16, 16, 10. Like, the whole Brandon Cooks never can get on the field because he's always hurt is flat-out false. And it comes from where he was early in his career. He had the concussion issues, and people thought he was going to be injury-prone and somebody that you couldn't trust to get on the field. That's been proven not to be the case for Brandon Cooks.
So I'm not going to get into the injury conversation.
And the production real quick, Blankers, like over 1,000 yards for a receiver is pretty good. This year he didn't go over 1,000. He got 713 games. Let's not forget that Davis Mills was his quarterback and Pep Hamilton was his offensive coordinator. Brandon Cooks has had over 1,000 yards receiving in 6 of his last 8 years, including 2022. So, like, We can talk about the attitude thing, because I don't disagree with you, Blankers. Like, we were the first ones, I think, in Houston pointing out that Brandon Cooks was, like, starting to check out with the Houston Texans. I just wanted to hear, like, your side of the story on that. I really wasn't challenging you a whole lot. So, like, I agree with that. Like, the Brandon Cooks pouty thing from last year, that was frustrating. Quitting on his team, that was frustrating. But I'm not trading a dude who's been super productive in six of the last eight seasons and just giving him away for a six-round draft pick because we think he might be unhappy. D'Amico Ryans is supposed to be a leader of men. D'Amico Ryans is supposed to be this guy that everybody wants to play for. I'm going to give D'Amico Ryans a chance to get the most out of Brandon Cooks before I ship him off for a seventh-round draft pick.
We saw Cunningham. We saw Roby. We saw guys that still had plenty left in the tank that could still play. That just played their cards well with the previous regimes to get out of Dodge. I think Cooks has tried to play those cards over and over again, and the dealer keeps dealing. So he knows he got more chips because he got more money. He got an extension, so he played through it again. But he couldn't play through it for another season without doing the same kind of things. And you're right. I'm not playing the injury card because the one thing was the concussions. That's the one thing that's followed him around. But other than that, the injuries that have been reported have basically been to cover up the attitude, which has caused the majority of his problems since he's been in Houston when everybody now wants him out or a lot of people want him out. I don't know what the price is, but I do realize and I know that as much as this franchise is hell-bent on pressing this reset button and doing things the right way across the board, they don't want this headache again, and they don't want to run the risk of it
being
a headache.
How do you know that with D'Amico, though? Like, they allowed him to play again. Yes, it was a previous staff, but it was the new general manager. What if D'Amico told Nick Caserio, I think I can get the most out of Brandon Cooks? We don't know that.
If D'Amico was an offensive coach, I might sign up for more of that. But D'Amico, I don't think D'Amico, his first go-round.
But he's the head coach. He's seen it all.
I know, but it's his first go-round, and I don't think he wants a veteran in his locker room that has the potential to, I don't want to say a cancer, but he has the potential to be a guy that's going to have a bad attitude, not being on the culture, and going to start trying to position himself to get out yet again. At a certain point, I mean, if I'm signing up for a job, and this is my first chance to run my entire show, the last thing I want to do is inherit a dude that's been a bad apple and hope to get something good out of him after he's shown multiple times. The more rope you give him, the more he starts trying to hang you with it out in the public and otherwise. I want to wash my hands clean of those guys and really truly get 100% fresh start this time.
713-780-ESPN. What is your line of demarcation? Brandon Cooks, any chance that you keep him? Any chance that you don't? And what is that line? What is the lowest you would take for? Because look, I trade Brandon Cooks right now if I get a top 125 pick. I get pick 200? Nah. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Travis Johnson will be joining us, Trap J, at 2 o'clock, former teammate with D'Amico Ryans. We're having the polarizing Brandon Cooks conversation. Blankers and I would both trade Brandon Cooks. Our line of demarcation, a little bit different. I need a top 125 pick. Blankers, I think, needs like an early fifth rounder for Brandon Cooks, who didn't have a good year last year. Six of the 8 years, he's had over 1,000 yards receiving. Some people on the HRMP line want to get in on this. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to Thomas. Thomas, you're in the Hive of the Killer Bees. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, guys. I agree. I agree with you, Jeremy, about I think this is like a small victory or opportunity for a small victory here for D'Amico. You know, sit down with this dude, tell him, hey, this is the plan. We're going to still be rolling with the young quarterback. We want you to be a veteran to help out Mechie, continue mentoring Nico. And look, you've crapped on your own value. Help us get it back, and we'll get you to a winning, you know, a little compromise and see how that goes. And, yeah, sure, if things go sour, get them out the door. But right now I'd take a fourth or fifth and then or nothing less for multiple late-round picks, but I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I think part of it too. Whenever you have the Brandon Cooks conversation, is like, why did he get upset last year? Like, why did he suddenly want out? Because what he said, was that he didn't want to be on a rebuilding team, which is kind of contradicting because he signed a two-year contract with a team that everybody thought was in a rebuild, even though Nick Caserio unwilling to say that. Some people think he was, like, you know, connected at the hip with Jack Easterby, but Jack Easterby's not currently at the in the NFL, so, like, where's Brandon Cooks going to go? This isn't, like, me defending Brandon Cooks. Another part to look at this, though, like, okay, like, you convince Brandon Cooks to stay in the fold at the start of the next year. Like what Tom has said, you have this idea of let's restore your value, and then you trade him at the deadline when there would be more value for him. Because let's be honest, right now with teams that have this cap space, they have this entire offseason. They don't want to be spending a big piece of their salary cap space pie on Brandon Cooks. But you get to the trade deadline, and all of a sudden you have teams that are in playoff contention that are desperate for wide receiver, where, you know, right now maybe you can get a sixth rounder for Brandon Cooks, where all of a sudden at the trade deadline you get a third rounder for Brandon Cooks. So it's just good business.
I think they've tried over the top to be good organization business-wise. I think smart business-wise at a certain point is cutting your losses. I think that I understand what you're saying, but I also think that part of that is that you're running the risk putting him back out there and trying to get him to at least show that he can still perform so that teams would continue to be interested in him and want to trade for him. And that if he doesn't get the ball, or he knows that too, and he's basically playing for his next team, and then things aren't going his way and the stats aren't piling up and he isn't showing the way he would like, or the team trying to acquire him would like, then you run the risk of him going off one more time. And I think
Then cut him. At that point, cut him.
Well, that's why
Your opportunity cost that you lost there is a six-round pick, so what? Like, that's what you're willing to risk right now for him to either buy in and trade at the deadline.
Because you know that he's not...
No, I offered you the six-round pick at the very beginning. Like, if you get a top 125 pick, done. Done deal. He's gone.
Okay, but I'm saying, I don't even want him back to run the risk of having to take rock bottom or cut him because he's already shown me too much. I probably should have said just take the sixth and go, because to me that ship's already sailed. If I'm the general manager before, and if DeMeco truly wants to have a conversation with him, go ahead. But I've seen too much and been through too many headaches to think that this is going to stop, or that he's going to say one thing and he couldn't completely do the other in a moment's notice. So maybe I should have said from the start that I'd take a six, because I'm just tired of all of the antics and things. And if they truly are turning the page, then he needs to be in their history. He doesn't need to be a guy in their present that could screw things up.
I think D'Amico's got to figure that out, like what's been going on in this organization and like what's been going on with Brandon Cooks, because it's not just him. You have your leading tackler. You have to cut him because Zach Cunningham doesn't want to be here. You got to dump Charles Amenihu for nothing because he doesn't want to be here. Roby, like Laremy Tunsil, just last season sat out the last eight games with a broken thumb. Brandon Cooks doesn't want to be here. Deshaun Watson didn't want to be here. And
well,
like,
Tunsil's
a little
unfair now because Tunsil now says he wants to be a Texan for the rest of his career.
Pay him as the highest paid left tackle in the game.
Some people have different priorities.
D'Amico's just got to figure out like what's been going on. Like, is this all Jack Easterby? Because Brandon Cooks, his tantrum started the day they fired Easterby.
I would say it was before that. I think that it became a little bit more public whenever Easterby got fired, because he was doing it very early in the year. I mean, he walked off the football field of a live play after an interception because the ball didn't go his way. I could go look at the tweet because I remember putting it on Twitter. So it's been going on for a long time with Brandon Cooks, even since the start of the season. The problem is that Brandon Cooks is much better than a six-round value. Like, if Brandon Cooks was, let's just say it's last offseason, Brandon Cooks coming off a really good season, he's bought in, like things are going great, you could probably got a third rounder for Brandon Cooks, right?
But
like,
I think if those things were true, you probably wouldn't want to trade him.
Right, but now you're trading a guy whenever the value's at its lowest. So you want to buy high and sell low?
Jeremy,
stupid.
I don't know that the value's ever going to get up there again. I really don't. Because now he's older, he's another year older.
That's fair.
And he's carrying all this baggage.
I think that's a fair point. But it's also likely that you could restore his value, and that's part of why you hire a leader, right? Part of hiring a leader is to bring the most out of players, is to getting the most out of players, is to getting buy-in from the players, is to creating a culture for the players. That's the purpose of hiring a head coach in D'Amico Ryans and firing Lovie Smith, is so that D'Amico Ryans could bring the best out of players. So why would you, after you've hired D'Amico Ryans, who's a leader, who's going to bring the most out of players, why are you selling low with a six-rounder with the potential that you could trade him in the at the trade deadline for a third? If you can get the value, okay, you lost out on a six-round pick. Who cares? It's a six-round pick. Texans give those away for Ryan Finley and Anthony Miller. I'm not selling a commodity as low as a six-round pick whenever I have the commodity of Brandon Cooks, who's worth way more than that at his best, and I just hired a head coach who's supposed to get the best out of his players.
Because I don't think that you can – look, you can't – I don't think you can squeeze blood out of a turnip. I think at a certain point, you have to look at what you've already tried to do with him. If you wanted to play Texans pawn shop and you wanted to take him on and show his value and let people get their save their money so that they, you can sell them and get at a different price and make a profit, those I think that ship sailed. And I think that the fact that everybody was relying on him to be the one steadying force and the best offensive player on this team a year ago, Davis Mills or not – and that not only wasn't he, but there was a lot more questions than there were answers about where he is in his career, what he could still do. Obviously, we know his resume said he used to be able to do it at a very high level, but now there's more questions than answers because, yeah, you can blame some of it and maybe a lot of it on Davis Mills, but yet if you truly wanted to be the guy that appreciated the money, that knows that, you know, he wants to prove he's worth it and he could, you know, whether it's here or somewhere else, that he would have handled his business a lot differently, and it happened on multiple occasions. And I don't think a new coach coming in wants to deal with an old headache. I think if he creates it and he's
part of it. What if it's not a headache, though?
I think it, you've already seen it too many times to not expect it to be. I get it. You want to give him another.
We saw it one time with the Texans because he thought the Texans were dysfunctional. He saw it, it's the same thing all year. He was not like this
one
in 2021.
Time, we saw it on the sidelines.
Like
we saw it with.
No, I'm talking about this year. This year was the one time. He's been a Houston Texan for 3 years. We saw it in 2022. We didn't see it in 2020 and 2021. What did he say about the Texans? He said that they were basically dysfunctional. Was he wrong?
He threatened to air it all out. He was acting like a real housewife.
To air it all out?
Oh, he did. You go back and look at the media and some of the tweets too, where he was like, "You know what? I can only take so much." At a certain point, you have to show the receipts on that.
I don't know if he threatened to air out the Texans' dirty laundry.
He was talking about it over and over again. I don't know if it was on Twitter or if it was in the locker room where he was talking about, "You can only take so much." And at a certain point, I can air it all out or whatever the terms he used. But he was basically, again, just like the Ingram situation, just like the post game after the where he doesn't want to be a part of the rebuild, just like the Easterby situation. Every single thing could set Brandon Cooks off in a moment's notice. And that's fine, but for the past, because it's in the past finally, except for his contract and the fact that he's still on the roster. If I'm going forward and I'm getting a fresh start, he's not a part of it. That's where I'll end my.
And you would trade him for a six round.
Yeah,
pick.
Yes, I would. Now I will. They're just to will. End it. Now I will. Yes.
What makes you think it's going to end? I mean, he's caught over. He had 1,000 receiving yards in 6 of the last 8 years, and you want to trade that guy for a 6 round pick? I think that 1185 brings up a really good point. Let D'Amico decide whether he wants him or not. D'Amico Ryans is the face of the franchise now, right? D'Amico Ryans is the guy that you hired to be the leader of this organization to give him all of the power, right? Why isn't D'Amico Ryans making that decision?
Let him.
What's your deal? You're not going to talk now because you're
no,
upset?
No, I'm fine. No, I'm not upset. I'm just saying I've exhausted everything. Thanks, Dr. Phil. What I'm saying is I've exhausted everything I could possibly say. If D'Amico does want to make that call as the head coach, he has every right to, then let him make the decision.
Okay, so if D'Amico wants to keep Brandon Cooks, you disagree with him?
I'm not. I'm saying let him make the decision. He's the head coach. If he's truly in charge and that's something that he wants to deal with and he decides to do, then let him do it.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Travis Johnson, Trap J, we know him. Played with D'Amico Ryans with the Houston Texans. Travis Johnson, get a little insight on D'Amico when we return. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.